it is better we do a taking for Hebrews, so that's 1-2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1-2. He reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This ends the Bible reading.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a privilege and a blessing to be able to stand before you this morning to proclaim the word of God into your hearing. As always, we want to welcome those of you who may be visiting with us, perhaps not for the first time, but also encourage you to come back and visit us with us as often as you can, and know assuredly that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. It is certainly good to see so many friends and visitors, some old and new. And we will always, as always, continue to pray that God will bless you as we begin 2026. As a congregation, we have adopted the theme this year, God's love transforms, his grace uplifts, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." So today's message is entitled Perspective. Perspective. This is not a Bible word, but I believe a Bible concept. And so as a congregation, as we seek to become more and more like Jesus this year than we were last year, I believe that one of those steps will include perspective. And so today, I would like to speak to you from 3 points. The Church of Christ sermon is normally 3 points. First of all, the principle of perspective. Number two, the posture of perspective. And number three, the power of perspective. Perspective. This is the ultimate call of Christ-centered perspective, not based on our present circumstances. All of us, I would suggest, will go through things, have gone through things, are going through things in our personal lives, in the world that we live in, and all of us have a perspective on the way in which we view these circumstances and our world for that matter. And so our scripture text in Hebrews chapter 12 may be familiar to some and not familiar to others. The Hebrew writer begins that chapter with the word therefore. And if you've been here long enough, you know we always ask the question, what is therefore? And it means as a result of what came before. Hebrews chapter 12 connects to Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it is the hall of fame of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so we live in a visual world, but there are things that go on in the unseen world where faith lies, and that is the world in which we want to connect to in our perspective. And so the principle of perspective is our first point. This word perspective means it's a noun. It is a particular attitude toward or a way of regarding something, a point of view. You hashtag POV. You see that on social media. What is your point of view? What am I seeing? What am I encountering right now? Most guidebooks in history is written from a particular perspective. And each person has a perspective, a way in which we view our world. The dictionary definition of perspective is a way of regarding situations or topics. Some of the synonyms would say, "What's your position?" They would say, what is your view? What is your position on a particular subject? What is your view on marriage? In other words, what is your perspective? Or your point of view? And you say, well, that's how you see it. You hear folks say that? That is perspective. Well, I don't see it that way. Or I thought. And so your perspective is the way you see something. If you think that toys corrupt children, for children's minds, for example, then from your perspective, a toy shop is an evil place. Perspective comes from the Latin word, the root word meaning to look through. To look through or to perceive, and the meaning of perspective has something to do with looking. If you observe the world from a dog's perspective, for example, you see it through a dog's eyes. And so perspective gives your drawing the appearance of depth or distance. And if you say someone has his perspective, you mean it simply means they have a sensible outlook on life. And so I want to suggest that all of us have a perspective. And I want us to compare our perspective to God's perspective. That's what we're here for. And so the second point is the posture of perspective. The posture of perspective. What is posture? Posture is the position in which someone holds their body. You know, you say parents will tell the children that they're sitting at the table to sit up, don't slump. You ought to have good posture. But in a from our worldview, our posture is our particular approach or attitude towards someone or something. All of us have a posture. Some people are approachable. Some people aren't approachable because of our posture, but our body language sometimes says, don't come near me, don't say anything to me. And even sometimes our words have a posture. And so the posture of perspective, how we view the world and our circumstances is our posture, our stance or our position on a matter. And so God wants us to adopt and transform our posture to a biblical one. And so we see in scripture, in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so heaven's posture has a demand on us that we present ourselves to God in view of how good God has been to us. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world. That's a lower posture. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are we trying to do? We're trying to change our view to God's view. That's perspective. And that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So every day, our assignment is to change our posture towards God's perspective. And so, because biblical perspective is based on the unseen. Biblical perspective is based on the unseen. And so if you see it, that's perhaps not God, that's not faith. Faith believes in what it does not see. You have not seen God, but he has given us a command to change our perspective. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. The apostle Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen. What aggravates us? What gets under our skin? What is it that gets on our nerves? It's the things that we see, isn't that right? Folk that cut us off in traffic, people that are rude to us, or perhaps don't treat us the way we think, or circumstances that come our way. The Apostle Paul says, we do not regard or look at the things which are seen. Why? He says, for the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever your situation or circumstance will not last forever. Amen. And so if we regard the things that are seen and that provokes our perspective, then we don't have the right perspective. But he says, because the things that are seen won't last forever. But he says in the latter verse, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so it's our point of view or our perspective on the things that are seen, which are temporary, or the things that are not seen, which are eternal. We sing that song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My perspective is not on this world. That's what the song says. My perspective is, if heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? So, but the key is that true biblical perspective has to do with the rule of God in the world and our place in the flow of this world. And so all of us have to live in the world. All of us have to interact in the world. And what we go through and what we see is based on our perspective. And so all of us are challenged to things. And so the book of Hebrews challenges us by describing a God who existed before time and space began. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds which were preserved by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things which are unseen. Hebrews 11 and verse number 3. In other words, God existed in his own realm prior to the creation and time, and out of that realm he called or spoke the world into existence. Isn't it interesting? God was here before time began, and he will be here after time shall be no more. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And so you and I exist in that space and time, but this time will come to an end. But our perspective is based upon us changing our point of view from what we go through, from how we go through things, to look at them, perceive them from God's point of view. And so the things which are seen are temporary, and sometimes, you know, waiting for the eternal, it takes a long time. Because all of us like instant gratification, instant results. And so God is calling us to transform our thinking. Biblical perspective has confidence in the eternal and not the temporary. And so don't put your confidence in me. I don't put my confidence in you, because I understand that you will let me down and I will let you down, but God will never let us down. Perspective. And so the power of perspective, we by nature sometimes focus on the physical things, the things down here, and our dreams when we consider the people around us or the world we live in. And so in God's creation, I believe he's used two illustrations to help us to understand perspective. I look at the birds that God created. The first perspective is a chicken or a hen. A chicken or a hen. I know a lot of us like chicken. And so a chicken or hen's perspective is close to the ground and up close. You see, you have a different perspective than I have, because you can only see certain things, but from standing up here, I can see more than you can. And that is perspective. A chicken or a hen stays close to the ground, has scratches around the dirt, pecking for food, staying close to one another, and sits in a coop. Their view is limited and local. To them, the world is small and detailed focused on the patch of ground right in front of them. The safety of the flock or the hand of the hens themselves, nearby likeness. And so they are in survival mode from day to day. You see a chicken, it just goes around, scavenging around. But its nature is protective, it's nurturing, protective, like a mother hen gathers her children under her wing. You remember that Jesus described his longing for Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23, where he said, how often I would have gathered the children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings. Symbolically, this can represent humility, community, gratitude, or groundedness, but also it has limitations. A chicken mindset or perspective is limited. They can be easily starved. They're confined to the familiar, and they cannot see the big view. But the opposite is an eagle. A different type of bird that God has created is the eagle's perspective. The eagle soars high and has a broad view. An eagle flies high in the sky, often thousands of feet up, using the current and the flow of the wind while flapping its wings. Their view is a panoramic view. Amen. And so sometimes when we find ourselves with the wrong perspective, we've got to change our position. We've got to change your position and go up a little bit higher. See, the interesting thing about chickens is one chicken runs and the other chickens run with it. But the eagle is a lone creature and is often focused on what is in front of it and what is below it as well. Their focus is on the big picture, the long-term view, and rising above obstacles. Eagles don't get tangled into the affairs of the ground itself. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 30, for those of us who are familiar with this verse, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so the question today is, do you have a chicken's perspective or do you have an eagle's perspective? You remember it was Jesus himself who went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? With the apostles and Peter, James, and John. Why did they go up? Because they needed a different perspective. And even Moses himself, when he was called to be given the Ten Commandments, he was called up to the mountain. And the Lord said to him, take off your feet, for the ground that you stand on, you are standing on holy ground. And so I want to suggest to us today, church, that when we come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, we are to mount up like eagles and to stand on holy ground. We are to leave the affairs of the world and come up and see it from God's point of view. And so, church, it's not what you are looking at, it's your perspective. How are you viewing the situation from a chicken's perspective? Are you viewing it from an eagle's perspective? And so, you know, one of the things that we are challenged with, and this helps to make certain verses in the Bible more clear. In Matthew chapter 6, we all know the Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You ever ask yourself the question, what are all these things? All of these things that Jesus is describing, he's talking about what you're going to eat,
What are you going to wear? Where are you going to live? Those are from a chicken's perspective. The things down here. But he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, adopt an eagle's perspective. And so, somebody would say as well, listen, you might want a steak. You might have wanted a steak, like prime rib steak on the table. I don't have a steak, but you say, but listen, for perspective, I've got a refrigerator at home that I can move into. It may not have everything that I want, but I've got everything that I need that is perspective. I might not have the latest model of car, you know, whatever the 2027 model, whatever they got out there. But you say, but listen, my perspective, I've got a car, it's paid for, I can turn the key, and it starts, and I put on the brake, and it's up, perspective. And listen, when you went to sleep last night, you don't remember when you went to sleep, did you? And then you just put your head down, and you slumbered off in sleep, and listen, perspective, the ceiling didn't fall in on your head. God bless you this morning and woke you up this morning. And so, church, listen, Hebrews 11, and about verse number 7, I believe it's verse 4. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and meet me at verse number 4. These were men and women who had perspective. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. Now, what's the point there? Listen, these were ordinary men and women in this chapter who believed God. Amen. God, listen. God called these people to say, I want you to sacrifice, I want you to leave, I want you to do. And they believe God without evidence. That's perspective, church. You and I, the majority of this congregation, this is a unique congregation. I believe I heard somebody say one time, this is the most members of this congregation are economic immigrants. You have come to this country for some reason. I'm originally from Bermuda. I went to the United States, and now I'm in. You stepped out in faith to do something and something that some others, even your own countrymen, would not even dare to do. That is a step of faith, and God has provided for you, and so our perspective should not be that I don't have certain things, but rather I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. And so, church, it's not what you go through, it's how you view the thing, our perspective. And so, side by side, when we compare this, the chicken and the eagle, many stories and motivational teachings use these as fables. An eagle's egg hatches. You perhaps heard an experiment say an eagle's egg is put among in the chicken coop. Huh? And then that eagle grows up thinking it's a chicken. Huh? They because you know what happens is, what happens? You ever heard about the crab mentality? You put a bunch of crabs in a bucket. And one of those crabs try to get out of that bucket. You know what the other crabs are going to try to do? They're going to try to pull it back down. You know what? They're going to say, how dare you try to leave? You think you're better than me? That's perspective. But the one crab that has the courage to say, listen, I'm not content to stay down here. I want to see what's out there. And listen, that's what God is calling us to do today. God is calling us in 2026. To be more faithful, to be more trustworthy, to be more honest, to be more consistent. Huh? Am I better off this year than I was yet last year? Is my prayer life better this year than it was last year? You say, well, It's a 50-50 on that one, brother. But what will it be in 2026? Because you can't undo what you've done, but you can start from where you are. Change your perspective. Sometimes our perspective, if you can't see good, sometimes you've got to change your point of view. You remember Zacchaeus? You remember Zacchaeus? What was Zacchaeus' problem? Zacchaeus had a short perspective. Huh? He heard that Jesus was passing by and the crowd was thick. And he said, listen, I've got to see Jesus. He was not content to make excuses. What did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree. We sing that song, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. Not everybody wants to see Jesus. Did you know that? But all of us are going to see Jesus. Whether you like it or not, every last one of us will see Jesus. Now, how that interaction turns out is based on what you'll do today. Based upon what you will do today, am I content to stay down here like a chicken? Or am I content to say I'm not satisfied and I will endeavor to be more committed this year? None of us are perfect. And God's not expecting perfection. But God wants us to challenge ourselves to change the way we view our circumstances. Amen. And I'm not going to keep you long. I want to tell you something. And here's the truth, because sometimes I hear people, Christians, praying this prayer, Lord, keep us safe. Lord, protect us. I don't see anywhere, and you tell me if I'm wrong, where the apostles prayed for safety. Prayer is a powerful thing, but here's the interesting thing about prayer. When we pray, God's not going to necessarily do what you ask him. And it may not work out the way you think. I want to give you an example in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle Paul, you remember, had that thorn in the flesh. He had a thorn in the flesh. Perhaps you've got a thorn in the flesh. You've been praying about a situation or circumstance and say, Lord, are you still there? Sometimes you can feel from our perspective that we're behind God's back. Maybe he's forgotten about me. I know I've been there. Maybe you're there right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to keep you long. And about verse number 7, let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. He didn't ask for it, but he got it. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. What for? Lest I be exalted above man. You know what that means? That means to keep him humble. Whatever you're, sometimes God will give you something. Sometimes you might encounter a challenge that God to keep you humble. Huh? Concerning this thing, because you know how it is. You say, the Apostle Paul said, return to sender. Huh? Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. I prayed. I did all the right things. I came to church. I did all, from my point of view, I'm doing all the right things, Jesus. He prayed, and every prayer gets answered. It may not get answered the way you want. Perspective. And the book says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace. Perspective. Lord, I'm praying about the situation. I'm asking you to change it. I'm asking you to take it away. But whatever your will, if you see fit not to take it away from me, I'm going to look at it from your perspective, because you say that my grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect when I'm weak. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied. Will you be satisfied with a new perspective? Therefore, here's therefore, huh? I'm an apostle. I'm an inspired man. I've been suffering for Jesus. I got this thing. I've asked you to take away. And the Lord said, I'm not taking it away. I'm not taking it away. He said, therefore, I will most gladly, not madly, I will most gladly, he says, will rather boast in my infirmities or weakness. Huh? I might not be able to run like Usain Bolt. I might not be able to speak like Martin Luther King. I may never have my name on a billboard, but perspective, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I will most gladly boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because if God didn't take that, if God took that thorn in the flesh away from me, it will stop me from praying to him. It would not allow me to keep and rely on him. It would not, listen, it says what? Give us this day our daily bread. Why is it daily bread? Because if you gave it for the week, you probably wouldn't come back. I need thee every hour. That's perspective. So whatever you're going through, am I looking at it from my perspective or am I looking at it from God's perspective? That's what we want to challenge ourselves. Lead us in our homes. When you're standing on your job and folk are complaining, I just listen to folk and I say, well, have you thought about such and such? What am I trying to do? Change my perspective. So that, listen, it doesn't mean every once in a while you can complain to God. This gives you permission to tell God, I don't like it. Amen. You can tell God, you know, you don't have enough faith. No, it's not about faith. It's about perspective. It's about God's perspective. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing, but not what I will, but your will. You signed up for this. Yes, you did. For the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord what? Delivers us. From them all. By and by, that's perspective. By and by, we will understand it better. That's perspective, church. I don't know how long by and by is. It might take a lifetime. He may never give you an answer like Job. Job suffered. Lost everything. Wife even came and tried to bash him. Huh? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's perspective. Yes, Lord, I don't like this. I don't want to go through this. But as long as you go through this with me, go with me as I go through it. That's perspective, church. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you can't become a Christian and change your perspective because now your outlook will change. What must I do to be saved is the question that every person must answer. First of all, you must hear the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe that Jesus is the only one that can change your perspective, save you from your sins, says John 3:16. You must repent of your sins, says Luke 13:3-5. You must confess Jesus as Lord. You don't have to come up here and tell us all about all the bad things you did. You know, you don't have to do that. Why? Because God saw it when you did it the first time. That confession is simply that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And then you must complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2:38. Matthew 20:18-20, Mark 16:15-16 talks about baptism. It's not a suggestion, it is a command. And then he asks us to remain faithful until the very end, Revelation 2:10. Huh? It's a warning, but it's also a confidence. That's our perspective. And so as long as you make your statement, and then God expects us to run it through Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, he wants us to change our thinking. I believe it was Brother Dutton the last time, I wasn't here last week Sunday, but the Sunday before that, and he was talking about transformation. Transformation, you know what transformation is? It's renovation. Transformation is renovation. What does renovate mean? Renovate means you take out something new and replace it with something better. And so what happens is in our thinking, all of us have a tape recorder, our mind's like a tape recorder. Huh? And stuff triggers in our mind. And so when that thought comes, that's your old perspective. And now Romans 12:1-2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your, you've got to replace that old thinking with God's thinking. That's where you change your perspective. If you're here this morning and you need to be saved, don't leave here without Jesus. Or you found, or you have, you are a child of God and you recognize that I've got to do more to change my perspective. When you leave here, you ought to see the world differently. You ought to see Jesus differently. And when you look at the scriptures, you ought to see, listen, Lord, what am I trying to see in here? I want to see it from your point of view. Huh? And that will make the church more harmonious. It will make marriages more harmonious. It'll make your workplace more harmonious. It'll make the world more harmonious. Amen. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, either of these two ways, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.